something coming in over the PA system. We're trying to run that down. Hopefully it's not coming in over our Facebook broadcast. We're thankful for your presence this morning. I don't know about you, but I was a little bit surprised to wake up to rain this morning. I didn't know rain was forecasted for this morning, but nevertheless, it rained, and it's supposed to be out of here in just a little bit. But we're thankful for the rain, especially when you're trying to grow grass, so, and I am. I'd like to direct your attention this morning to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Interesting passage, Peter's encouragement here, that we always do that which is good, even though we live among those who practice evil and those who call the practice of good evil. Peter is encouraging us to just continue to do the right thing, continue to do that which is good. But I would like to direct your attention to this phrase, "I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims." You know what a sojourner is, right? It's good to have Andy and Dale back with us. They've been gone over two Sundays, and so for an extended visit and help with Dale's mother in Oklahoma and so forth. And you might say they were sojourners at that time. They were pilgriming to Dale's mother's home and then back. They're travelers. They're living in places that it's not their intended permanent place of residence. That's what we are. This earth is not our home. Even though we might get very comfortable in it, I know several of our congregation enjoy traveling in camping trailers and so forth. And, and that's something that they enjoy and something I enjoy from time to time. But at the same time, you realize that that's not permanent. And you kind of long to get home to a more permanent place. But we need to remember that even when we are home in our more permanent place, we're still just sojourners and pilgrims. This world is not our home. There's a song we sometimes sing, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land." Certainly, as we look at all of the blessings that God has given us in this life, and we're thankful for them, we recognize that our land is not barren, but many times it is barren of that which is good, and it is barren of those who honor those things that are good. And it's easy for us to get distracted in our pilgrimage. It's easy for us, perhaps, to start calling those things that are evil good, and for us to begin accepting the things that God does not accept, that God calls abominable, that God identifies as sinful, a transgression. We need to be aware of that. And the only way that we can remain aware of that is by continuing in the guidance of our God through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because it is Jesus who is the only true guide through this world for you and I today. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 44, "No man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day." If you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to turn with me to John chapter 6, because it's a very interesting conversation that Jesus is engaged in with the Jews. He's saying things that are confusing to them. I don't know if he meant for it to be confusing to them or not, but you had to be listening very carefully to what Jesus was saying and had to be one who was seeking truth in order to understand what he was saying. It actually begins around verse 26 and maybe even before that, but Jesus answered them saying, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for meat which perishes, but for meat which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him has God the Father sealed," or set his approval on. "And they said to him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." And you might think, well, that's kind of a strange thing. Until you understand, and you and I do understand, that believing on him is entirely dependent upon hearing and believing, trusting and obeying the word of God. And so we cannot believe on him without God revealing his word to us. And that's what Jesus is saying here. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. We can't believe on Jesus unless we believe the word about Jesus. And that goes back, for the Jews, it would go back to Old Testament prophecies and the fulfillment of them, even in their midst as Jesus was living with them. And so they said therefore to him, "What sign do you show us that we might see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" So in order to believe on you, we need to see a miracle. And they go on to say, "Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." We want to see another miracle. Well, he's been performing miracles. He said, the only reason you're following now is because you want me to feed you. And now, and having called them out on that, what's the first miracle they ask for? "We want some more food." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and you believe not. All that the Father has given me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." We are pilgrims here. There is going to be a day of resurrection. There is going to be a day that those who have followed Jesus are going to be called home to heaven. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last days." And the Jews murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he said, I came down from heaven?" And Jesus, therefore, answered and said to them, now watch this very closely, "Murmur not among yourselves." They were trying to reason away what Jesus had just affirmed to them. "We know his parents. We saw him as an infant. What's he mean he came down from heaven?" Don't confuse yourself about this. "No man can come to me," now notice, "except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." How is he going to draw us? The only way we can be drawn to God, the only way we can believe in Jesus is to believe his words. Not to murmur among ourselves and to murmur against the words that he has spoken, I am the bread of life. People are still murmuring against that. They still murmur against the virgin birth. They still murmur against the way in which Jesus was born. They still, how can this be? I don't understand that. Well, that's because you're not God. It's because you can't do what God does. Nothing's impossible with God. We need to believe the Word. And if we don't believe the Word and we murmur among ourselves and discount the Word of God, we will never come to Him. We will never be guided to our intended destination. No one can come to me unless my Father who sent me draws him. We are drawn by his word. Verse 45 says, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore who hath heard and has learned of the Father comes to me. If we fail to hear, and we fail to learn, we fail to trust, we fail to obey, we fail to say, God's will, not my will, be done, we will not come to the Father. We will wander through this land of confusion by our own choice and suffer an eternity in torment. Later in the chapter, in verses 66 through 68, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. He still didn't feed them. And many who were following him, wanting to be fed, walked away. And Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And Peter answered, saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. No one comes to the Father and can come to me unless the Father draws him. How does that happen? Through the Word of God. We're drawn to Jesus through the Word of God. We're drawn, here's the kind of neat thing about that. Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, who dwelt amongst us. No one comes to the Father except they're drawn by the Word to the Word that was made flesh. If we are going to pass from this land to our intended destination, intended by God, that we live in heaven, we must follow the only true God. The way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. There are religious leaders of religions throughout time and even to this present time who say, follow me. I'm the only one. It's Jesus who is the only one, and it's Jesus who has been proven to be the only one. It's not the design of this particular lesson to go into detail and to prove and present all of the facts and evidence that prove that Jesus is the only one. But just like these Jews that Jesus was speaking to in John chapter 6, we need to accept the truth of God's word. In Acts 4 and verse 12, we find the apostles asserting this truth. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If we do not believe, trust, obey, live to the glory of God through Jesus Christ, we will not enter that land of heaven that God so much desires that we live in. And we long for as well. No other name under heaven given among men but the name of Jesus. The means of guidance is the Word of God. Always has been. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. In other words, it's not instinctively in us to know what's acceptable to God and how to live before God. We have to be taught by God from His Word. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, when we find ourselves arguing, if you will, with the Word of God, we need to keep passages like this in mind. We need to humble ourselves before God and not trust in what we think and what we feel, but to trust in what God has revealed in His Word. Psalm 119, very longest of the Psalms, and it's all about praising the Word of God. We just chose this particular section. And notice what we read here in Psalm 119, verses 97 through 107. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Whenever there's a conflict between your teacher, your mentor, and the Word of God, trust the Word of God. Teachers can be wrong, but God's Word is never wrong. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. I don't know if you watched much of the hearing process this week with the justices being submitted to the Supreme Court. A lot of talk about originalism. Are you an originalist? She affirmed that she was. I was glad to hear that. It's a good question to ask someone who claims to be a Christian or a believer in God. Are you an originalist? Do you walk according to the law of God as God delivered it, according to His precepts and His testimonies and His judgments? What He says is sin, and what He says is right. What He says is true. Are you an originalist, or do you think that you can say, well, maybe things have changed? People have changed. Generations have changed, but God's word hasn't changed. The United States of America is going to continue to be the United States of America. Can't change the Constitution. You can't discount the Constitution. It has to be respected. And that's true, most assuredly, with the Word of God. If we're going to be the people of God and going to be guided through this barren land without an instinctive knowledge of what is true and what is right, we have to be originalist when it comes to the Word of God. God meant what He said, and it's up to us to obey Him and thereby honor Him. We must only move as we are directed by God's Word. In Exodus 13, verses 21 through 22, when the children of Israel were brought out of the bondage of Egypt and being led to their promised land, they were sojourners and pilgrims through the desert. God guided them. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. And He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. His guidance was always there. Notice, He did not take away by day or by night. The pillar was always there, whether it was the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire. His presence was always before them. And they were always to go when He said go. They didn't move unless the pillar moved. And when the pillar moved, they followed it. They didn't get, oh, it's going, I think we'd be, maybe it'd be better to go over here. You ever done that? You ever looking at, trusting the compass, and it's telling you where north is, and you say, well, I don't know, this thing must be wrong. I feel like I got to go this way. Now, I've done that a couple times. Don't ever doubt your compass. It's usually right. Don't ever doubt God's direction. He's always right. Don't trust your feelings. In Matthew 24 and verse 35, people say, well, we don't have a pillar today to guide us. Yes, we do. Yeah, the pillar was God, the presence of God. And God's presence is still with us. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will by no means pass away. What guides us today is the Word of God, and they will not pass away. People might try to discount them. People might ignore them. People might deny them, but they will not pass away. John 12 and verses 48 and 50 through 50, Jesus said, He who rejects Me and does not receive My words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. His word judges us today, doesn't it? And it's going to judge us in the last day. If God's word reveals sin in our life and calls us to repentance, now is the time to repent. Now is the time to let His word judge us and correct us and set us on a path of righteousness. Because in this last day, when His word judges us, it'll be too late to make any changes. I have spoken, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of My own authority, but My Father who sent Me gave Me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His command is everlasting life. His word is not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. They lead us in the paths of righteousness to the place of eternal life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. What's Jesus saying? I'm an originalist, Jesus. I'm telling you exactly what the Father has authorized me to tell you. I haven't changed it. And these words are going to judge us in the last day. Let them guide you now in this day. We must move as we are directed. In Luke 9 and verses 23 through 24, he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever desires to lose his life for my sake will find it." We cannot hold on to our life of sin. This is what I want to do. This is what I'm inclined to do, what I feel. This is what feels right to me. We can't hold on to that and expect to be led to the home of God. We need to deny ourselves and our will to do His will. Whoever loses his life for Christ's sake will save his life. In Luke 9 and verse 57, it happened that as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." That's the right attitude. Did he know where Jesus was going? Not really. Didn't know all the answers, didn't see the end destination, didn't know. But he said, "You know, I'm going wherever you go. I'm going to do whatever you say. I'm going to live the way that you tell me to live. Even when I don't understand it all and can't see the end result of it all, I'm going to follow you." That's the right attitude. I will follow you wherever you go, because you trust that He is walking and leading you in that path of righteousness, that He's leading you to that home in heaven. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 9 through 11, we read, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Did you catch that? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Are you following in the path of righteousness? Or are you walking in the path of unrighteousness? Are you saying, "Well, I know what the Bible says, but this is what I think and this is what I feel about it, and this is what I'm going to do. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God." Well, I think I'm going to go to heaven anyway. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not an idle threat. That's not something to kind of scare you. That's a revelation of truth. And if you know that you're not walking in the path of righteousness with God in Christ Jesus, don't deceive yourself into thinking that you're going to enter the kingdom of God anyway. Because God says you will not. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is not a complete list. It's an example. And as you read that list today, how many of those do you see there that it seems like people read those things and say, "Well, I can do all this stuff and still go to heaven"? God's saying, "You can't. You can't. You will not inherit the kingdom of God." This word hasn't changed. This law hasn't changed. And people say, "Well, this is just the way I am. I can't help it." Webster's Dictionary was changed today because of what happened in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Can you believe that? Oh, we'll just change the definition. We'll just change the law. Former Vice President Biden said, well, we'll just change the law in his town meeting this week. In fact, he said, I'll change the law. I'll pass an executive order that you can have your 8-year-old child change their sex. Just change the law. Such were some of you. He says some of you here at Corinth were practitioners of these things. You didn't try to change the law of God. You realized you needed to change, and you did. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You can change what you do. When you trust Jesus and follow Him wherever He goes, regardless of who goes with you or who does not go with you, you're going to follow Him. You can be assured that you're on your way to everlasting life in His presence. Romans 6 and verse 16, we read, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Who have you presented yourself to obey? Oh, I'm my own person. I just do what I want to do. You're just deceiving yourself. You're either walking in a path of unrighteousness, living in unrighteousness, or living in His righteousness. Which one is it? In Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias said to Saul at the time, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Saul, who was a very religious man, very pious man, but had rejected Jesus as the Messiah, but had now come to believe Him, trust Him, was ready to follow Him wherever God would want him to go and do whatever God wanted him to do. His heart was right. It had turned from unbelief to belief and trusting and ready for obedience. And Ananias said, why haven't you been baptized already? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. We're all on this planet together. We're all making this journey together. But I'm asking you a question this morning. Which path are you on? The path that leads to eternal torment, or the path that leads to joy and happiness in the presence of God and the heavenly host for all eternity? The choice is yours. And if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you want to walk in a path of righteousness. You want to have abundant life here and hereafter, eternal life. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. In John 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on Him, if you abide in My word, you are My true disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Just like those in the days of Moses who walked away from Egypt and out into the wilderness, and they followed that pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night, They followed him wherever he led them. Jesus says to those who believed on him, if you abide in my word, don't change it to the right, don't change it to the left. Abide in my word. You are my true disciples. And you will be free. Free from your sin, free from doubt and speculation, free to walk on your way to heaven. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation in any way, we'd encourage you to respond. All things are ready, and if your heart is ready to put Christ on in baptism, to have your sins washed away in his blood, in your obedience to him, rise to walk in newness of life with him, we're ready to assist you in that. If you're here today as a child of God and you know you're out of favor with him, you need to make things right with him, let us pray with you. Let us pray for you. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come as we stand and sing this song.